Today's program is brought to you by Byright, a family-owned and San Francisco-grown market that's passionate about creating community through food. For more information, visit ByrightMarket.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Hello, and welcome to A Hungry Society. I'm Korsha Wilson, and this is a show where we talk about food, restaurants, food media, and so much more. On today's show, we're talking about gentrification and the role that restaurant ownership can play in positively impacting a community. Today's guests are Evelyn Shelton, chef and owner of Evelyn's Food Love, a neighborhood restaurant in the south side of Chicago that serves from-scratch comfort food. And our second guest is Steve Hill, vice president of LISC, an organization that supports projects that revitalize underserved neighborhoods. Evelyn opened her business with the help of a small business loan through LISC's Community Advantage Program. The organization is hoping to support other first-time business owners in Chicago and nationwide to open small businesses as a way to invest in communities. Evelyn and Steve, welcome to A Hungry Society.
Thanks, Korsha.
I'm so excited to have you both on the program. When I heard about Evelyn's Food Love and the program that gave you the loan to open the business, I was so happy and I was so intrigued by it because I feel like it's such a more organic way to invest in a community. So Steve, can you talk a little bit more about LISC and the programs that you have?
Yes. LISC, or better known as LISC. It's an organization that's a national not-for-profit that does great work in housing, safety, security, and we've just, started to move into small business. And primarily because of some of the housing projects that we've done across the country, we've had a desire to bring in affordable jobs, create opportunities for the people in the community so they can have a place to go to work, a place to go eat, a place to watch their children or dry clean their clothes.
Mm-hmm. Great. And Evelyn, how did you get involved with LISC? How did you hear about the program?
Well, I was seeking a small business loan through a traditional lender, mm-hmm. and didn't have great success on that end, and was referred to a different organization here in Chicago who was willing to help but did not offer an amount adequate enough to fund the project that I was undertaking. So mm-hmm. they actually referred me to LISC.
Okay. And you touched on something that's interesting. Like even with you have a business degree and a culinary arts degree, you still had a hard time getting the funding that you needed to open your business?
Oh, yeah. Through the traditional means, yeah, absolutely. So I think it's just that, banks are reluctant to loan money to, startups. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's anything new. I think that's traditional and historic, and, it may or may not change. But for me, LISC was a great partner, and it worked out, wonderfully.
Mm-hmm. And Steve, at LISC, you are specifically working with first-time business owners in, like, is it in specific neighborhoods or is it wherever they want to open?
We traditionally work in LISC communities. So mm-hmm. we work in low to moderate income communities across the country, whether they're new or existing business owners. I think in those neighborhoods, they're underbanked. They don't have the same opportunities as someone from a high-income community. So someone has to serve that community. So that's part of our mission. We're focused on the borrowers, want to make the most impact in their communities, and we do it by partnering with them.
Mm-hmm. So I said a little bit before that I was really intrigued by this story. I think when it comes to opening, like new businesses opening up in underserved neighborhoods, we're recording in Brooklyn, and which has kind of been the poster child of of new businesses like coming in, like Starbucks or Whole Foods or whatever, and coming in and opening up a bunch of different shops. I was really happy to see that. You know, Evelyn, you're from Southside Chicago, right? From Bronzeville.
Yes, from the Bronzeville community, which is just north of where the business is located. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you are familiar with the community and the neighborhood and kind of knew what the neighborhood wanted and needed, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I you know, grew up in Chicago, on the south side of Chicago. This is near Washington Park. Well, it's in the restaurant is in Washington Park, but there is also a park here called Washington Park where, you know, I didn't live too far from growing up as a kid. So this area, you know, is just west of the University of Chicago campus on the south side. So it's very familiar, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Steve, why is it important for LISC to invest in restaurants and food businesses in particular?
Well, I mean, when you start talking about healthy food, great operators given an opportunity to their craft, the most important thing is to, you know, have those operators perfect that craft in their communities. There are a lot of great chefs and sous chefs, kitchen preparers who are working at some of the best restaurants in Chicago, and they're going miles and miles away from their community. So when there's an opportunity to help someone, whether in Chicago or Brooklyn or San Diego or Houston, Texas, this looks at that opportunity to see, like, what could we do to kind of help bring some economic stimulus to that community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what other programs does LISC offer?
Well, outside of, you know, our small business lending, I mean, we do a lot of different programs, you know, like housing. We do recreational parks for underprivileged youth. We do workforce development programs. We do financial opportunity improvement programs. So we're really looking at those low to moderate income communities. What do they need and how can we partner?
Right. And it seems like maybe not the traditional route of how neighborhoods get revitalized. Why is it important to do it this way instead of just bringing in maybe chains or larger companies?
The most important thing in any community is for the indigenous people in that community to get an opportunity to build their community. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be great if everyone in a Washington Park community could start a business right next door to a Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts or McDonald's and reap some of the economic benefit that comes with being located in that district?
Mm-hmm.
Then those people will continue to settle their roots. Their investment will serve them and their families for a long time. Mm-hmm. And the good thing is the children in that neighborhood, they can aspire to be the owner of Evelyn's Food Love.
Mm-hmm.
They can, you know, go there. They can get a summer job there. They can, you know, play with their friends there and get their, you know, cheesecake when they get out of school. So there's a benefit to having from the community start businesses in the community because it has an economic impact further than what could be imagined if they were a McDonald's there or Dunkin' Donuts. They would never really meet the CEO of those organizations. And we can meet Evelyn Shelton anytime you go there or any day of the week.
Mm-hmm. So it's the impact is way bigger than the dollars that are coming in.
That is correct.
Mm. So, Evelyn, what impact have you seen in the Washington Park neighborhood since you opened Evelyn's Food Love?
Impact in terms of other businesses or
other businesses
just people coming in?
Or the community or, you know, any of that?
Well, our customers, you know, first of all, in the Washington Park community have been exceptionally supportive, appreciative, you know, and grateful, you know, that we are here. They're long-term residents in this area who often come into the restaurant and talk about, you know, years ago when, you know, this community was thriving and, you know, what was going on and, you know, how they participated in, you know, various activities, you know, within the community. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they want to see that again. So they're very supportive, you know, so they're happy to, you know, come in and tell people, you know, about the restaurant, bring people, bring family, bring friends. You know, we've had families in here. We've had, you know, young adults in here. We've had older individuals in here who, you know, tell us about, you know, a club that was across the street called Club DeLisa. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, it was a club that sponsored a lot of big names in the jazz industry. And apparently where this restaurant is located currently, there was a restaurant previously.
Oh, wow.
So every other, you know, customer comes in and has a great story about Club DeLisa and how they would leave at the wee hours of the morning and, you know, come over to whatever, you know, restaurant was here and, you know, have breakfast. And, you know, so they're delighted. I think we've had a very, very positive impact in this community. And that was the intention from the start.
Mm. So with that intention, is that why you wanted to open Evelyn's Food Love, or was it to showcase your cooking in a different way, or why did you want to open your own restaurant?
Oh, I've always worked in the food industry. I've, you know, worked in this industry for many years, and I cooked even before I worked in the industry. It was always a goal to open a nice spot with great food and, you know, perhaps some live entertainment. You know, and to do it in an underserved community, you know, was a part of that vision. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't always want to, you know, dress up and go downtown to eat a decent meal. Sometimes you want to just go in your own community and have something great to eat, you know, fresh food. You know, we pride ourselves on, you know, our fresh cooking, our scratch cooking, mm-hmm. Working with various farms and farmers markets in the city of Chicago, bring fresh produce, you know, to our kitchen and to our customers' table.
Yes, and I heard that you have these triple chocolate pancakes that you serve.
Yeah, we do breakfast only on the weekend.
Okay.
Kind of a test to see how well it would go, and it went very well. So we're thinking about expanding, you know, just so that we can do breakfast possibly in a separate location.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we do a triple chocolate pancake on the weekend, in addition to peach cobbler pancakes,
oh, wow,
red velvet pancakes. We make sausages from scratch right here in the restaurant.
Oh, wow.
We make salmon croquettes from scratch. We make all of our sauces and spreads from scratch. We do our own dry rubs, you know, every single day.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so we're doing a lot of scratch cooking and just taking it back to the basics. I mean, that's why we're calling it Food Love. It's all about the food, and it's all about the love that goes into preparing it.
Yeah, if you want to expand to Bushwick and bring me some of those pancakes, I'd be very grateful if you did that.
Well, we may just do that. You never know.
Steve, what's next for the LISC, a community advantage program? Like, do you have other projects in the works in Chicago or in other cities in the U.S.?
Oh, we have, well, right now we have about 16 projects across the country, and we have 31 program offices. So we have a number of officers out there looking to, you know, make a difference in their community.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually just hired somebody for the, you know, greater New York area. So hopefully maybe they can hear this story and say, hey, I want to meet somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, our work is not limited to restaurants, but, you know, small factories. We are working on a project where the employees are buying a business that's going through the third generation, but the third generation doesn't want the business anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So we create opportunities primarily for low to moderate income communities, people of color, veterans, women. It's truly mission-based.
Excellent. Excellent.
You know, and that's an excellent point also that Steve makes. You know, if you put, you know, a really good business in an underserved community and then other potential business owners, you know, see this and they see that, you know, a business will thrive in this particular community,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's how you spur economic development in these communities that so desperately need it.
Right.
You know, so we hear that also. You know, we have customers who come in and say, hey, you know, so you know, you guys are doing pretty good over here, huh? Yeah, as a matter of fact, we are. You know, these communities really want, you know, nice things in their neighborhoods also. You know, so it's usually just a handful of, you know, situations or people or, you know, whatever, you know, that can really, you know, give an entire community a bad name. But, you know, when you put something here, the rest of the community will rally around you and support you, you know, so that other businesses will follow suit.
Right. And that's kind of, that's why I wanted to talk about this program on the show, is because it's so much bigger than just like the economic incentive of putting a new business in. People mm-hmm. can, like Steve said, people can see themselves in what you do, Evelyn. And mm-hmm. the fact that they're coming in and they're like, oh, there used to be a restaurant here. Like, you are carrying a tradition as well. Like, you're mm-hmm. you're pushing the community forward as well.
Yeah, and just, you know, the sheer number of, you know, people who come in and say, hey, my name is Evelyn, too, you know, or my grandma's name was Evelyn, and she was an amazing cook, you know, mm-hmm. so I know the food must be good. It's like, okay, if that's the barometer, sure, come on in, try some food, and, right. you know, let me know if it's as good as grandma used to make. And, you know, generally, you know, people are very, very pleased with what they get here. You know, we don't do a lot of processed food here at all. It's fresh food made from scratch.
Wow. Awesome. So we're going to take a quick break. Steve, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And we'll be right back with more with Evelyn from Evelyn's Food Love. So don't go away.
Byright is a family-owned and San Francisco-grown market that's passionate about creating community through food. From organic farm direct local produce, sustainably raised meats and artisan cheeses, to food-friendly wines, house-made foods, and dinners, Byright is an essential San Francisco destination for any food lover or cook. And no trip is complete without a visit to the renowned Byright Creamery and Bake Shop for a scoop of salted caramel ice cream. Now celebrating 75 years in the Mission District of San Francisco, visit ByrightMarket.com to learn more. Byright is a proud business member of Heritage Radio Network, supporting good food media from coast to coast.
All right, so we are back with more A Hungry Society, and we're talking to Evelyn Shelton of Evelyn's Food Love in Chicago. So, Evelyn, you gave us a taste of your menu at your restaurant. What other dishes do you have? What can you give us a sense of what your menu is like?
Sure. So, our menu changes a lot, but there are certain things that we have pretty much every day. So, for example, we have roasted chicken and roasted fish every single day. Mm-hmm. We make our own dry rubs. Those are staples that, you know, people have asked for on a regular basis, so we just put them on the menu every single day. Every single day we have some type of beans and rice, you know, whether it's a rice pilaf or, you know, rice with vegetables. You know, we'll do that every single day as well. So as we've already, you know, discussed, this is a, you know, a community that, you know, needs a boost, and we didn't want to come in here and, you know, just have everything, you know, priced out of, you know, their range. We want them to be able to come in here and enjoy a meal also. So on Sundays, we prepare all, you know, soul food or Southern style cooking. So on Sundays, you can get, you know, roasted turkey and a Cajun gravy, cornbread dressing, four or five cheese, macaroni and cheese.
Wow.
We'll do fresh collard greens, maybe some roasted turnip bottoms. We do sweet potatoes or candied yams every single Sunday. I'm afraid now to take it off the menu. We also do peach cobbler every single Sunday, and we roll our own dough. And we make a lot of food from scratch. Mm-hmm. We also have an extensive seafood menu. So we have a fried lobster tail dish that is one of our top sellers in here. And we make our own remoulade, you know, dipping sauce to go with it. We make a really creamy dill coleslaw as an accompaniment. It's very, very popular. Mm-hmm. We do a twist on traditional shrimp and grits by adding crawfish tails to the mixture. and we do a three cheese cheese in the grits. So we do a really cheesy crawfish, shrimp, and grits dish that's also a hot seller. So we have an extensive menu. The menu changes pretty regularly. Every now and then we'll showcase barbecued rib tips or baby back ribs. We make our own barbecue sauce from scratch.
Oh, wow.
And again, you know, we make our own rubs for the ribs, you know, from scratch. And, you know, our side dishes change on a regular basis, as do many entrees on a day-to-day basis. Tomorrow we're having cedar plank salmon with, you know, with our barbecue sauce on it. Today we're doing smothered pork chops and an herb turkey meatloaf, and it's flying out the door. So, you know, it's great. It's been, you know, wonderful being here and amazing support from this community.
Do you have a favorite dish on your menu?
I don't. I keep trying to choose a favorite dish, and every day that changes. So
right.
It's like, oh my gosh, no wonder they like this meatloaf so much. It's delicious. Right. So, you know, so one day, you know, I'm in love with the meatloaf, and the next day it's the charbroiled apple cilantro turkey burger. Mm-hmm. You know, so then that becomes my favorite. And then on Sunday, you know, the cornbread dressing becomes my favorite. And then it's the peach cobbler, you know, right. So my favorite changes routinely.
I think that's a good sign if the chef is in love with the food as well.
Oh, absolutely. If something, you know, doesn't sell on our menu, we, you know, we won't even keep it on. And I can say, you know, 5 months after we opened, we pretty much have the same menu. So a lot of thought went into the menu and making sure that we had a big enough variety to keep people interested. So we have items that we can put on the steam table every single day. It's beautifully displayed. So you come in and, you know, you see, you know, green beans next to roasted sweet potatoes, you know, next to fresh broccoli, next to, you know, freshly baked macaroni and cheese. And then you look at the chalkboard behind you and then lobster tails or, you know, the turkey burger or the shrimp snack. You know, we hand bread our own seafood. We don't bring anything in that's already been breaded or frozen.
Oh, wow.
So it's just, it's fresh, you know. So sometimes there's a little bit of a wait, but there is a wait. We're not a fast food restaurant. And then, you know, once people eat the food, then they get it, then they understand. And then so the next time they come, it's like, okay, I know it's going to be a wait, but it's certainly going to be worth it.
What inspired you to become a chef?
I've always cooked my entire life. I was, you know, a 16-year-old kid, you know, pulling off, you know, complete Thanksgiving dinners.
Oh, wow.
I grew up in a family of, you know, people who cook. You know, my dad was an amazing cook. He was an angler and a hunter. And, you know, my mom is still a phenomenal cook. You know, she's probably, her kitchen is probably my second, you know, first favorite, and then my kitchen is my second favorite. You know, so, you know, and then both of them grew up in the South on farms, and their parents were deep organic farmers before there was even a term for deep organic farming.
Mm.
You know, so, and when you spend summers there and holidays there and, you know, you experience really, really fresh food, you know, which is what our parents wanted to expose us to as children who were growing up, you know, in the city of Chicago. You know, you have, you know, certain food memories that stick with you for your whole entire life. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and so I've always cooked. I grew up in a family that cooked, and I started off with an administrative career. And when there was an opportunity to, you know, switch careers, food is what I chose.
Wow. Do you have, I know you spend a lot of time in your own restaurant, but do you have a favorite restaurant that you go to?
I don't get to dine out much right now.
I bet.
I'm always here. So I'm, you know, my day starts at 4 a.m. most days, and sometimes I don't leave here until, you know, 9 o'clock at night. But Chicago is a food town. So there are no shortages of amazing places to eat in the city of Chicago. My favorites, though, are restaurants with great steak or seafood and, you know, and of course, comfort foods.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that I have a favorite. I have, you know, quite a few favorite restaurants where I dine in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, what do you want to see like 5 or 10 years from now for Evelyn's Food Love? What do you hope for the future of your restaurant?
Well, if things continue in the manner that they have been going, you know, I'd like to see us grow. Mm-hmm. You know, we probably can do a restaurant that only does breakfast based on the response that we received over the summer for our breakfast menu. We probably can do a restaurant that only serves seafood based on the response that we get every single day for the seafood that we prepare here. Mm-hmm. You know, so I would like to see, you know, the kind of expansion that would, you know, continue to spur economic growth in this community and other disadvantaged communities within the city of Chicago, you know, that creates, you know, not just jobs, but, you know, long-term careers for people who are passionate about, you know, working in the culinary industry.
Wow. So this is a question that I ask every guest towards the end of the show. If you could have your last meal in a restaurant, where would it be and who's invited?
That's such a great question. I'm actually fairly simple. I have really simple taste. You know, I like really simple food that doesn't, you know, take a lot of, you know, seasoning. I don't like very complicated dishes. So probably some quaint, off-the-beaten-path restaurant in the Eastern Caribbean with the freshest seafood caught that day. Mm-hmm. And in terms of who's invited, everybody's invited. The more the merrier, you know. So food for us is always a celebration, you know.
Right.
And our house, whenever there's a huge event, everybody always ends up in the kitchen, around the stove, talking, eating, having a great time. No matter how much time and effort you put into putting together an amazing table for people to, you know, sit down and enjoy each other's company, everybody ends up in the kitchen around the stove. So the more people, you know, that I take with me on this last meal, the better.
Right. Which island would you pick?
You know, I'm kind of fond of Anguilla. I've been there a couple of times. I haven't been in the last 10 years. And the food was amazing. The restaurants were awesome. So probably, you know, something in that area.
You are the first guest to say a whole island for your last meal.
Usually it's a tiny island.
Usually people are like, oh, so, you know, I have a table
first,
of like 10.
Actually, the first time I went, it was the first time I learned how to drive on the wrong side of the road.
Oh, wow.
What was, to me, the wrong side of the road. And it's such a small island. You know, we rented a car and we, you know, kind of just drove up and down the entire island, just stopping at different places to eat. And it was just an amazing experience. And so if I'm going to have my last meal, I'd like to have that experience again.
And the whole island is invited.
Right.
That's
and
awesome.
And you, Portia. And
yeah,
you
thank you. Thank you. You are also the first guest to invite me to their last meal on an island.
Yes,
thank you.
You are invited.
Well, it has been a pleasure talking to you. And where can listeners find out more information about your restaurant?
Well, and it's been a pleasure talking to you as well, and thank you so much for having me on your show. People can find out more about us. We're on Facebook, Evelyn's Food Love. You can check our website, evelynsfoodlove.com. You can feel free to call us, or come if you're in Chicago, stop on by and say hello and have a meal.
Yes, I'm coming for those pancakes the next time
on,
I'm in Chicago.
We're going to make them special just for you.
Thank you so much, Evelyn.
Thank you, Corsia.
And thank you for listening to Hungry Society. I will catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.